The historical region of Greece is often held as the center of Western culture and philosophy. During its golden age, the Grecians created monuments, sciences, art, and literature that have become the foundation of some of the world's most powerful civilizations. Many of these advances were attributed to divine inspiration, knowledge brought to mortals by the gods themselves. Greek myth and legend portrayed these powerful beings as directly interacting and influencing the events of mortal men in their daily lives. Epics were written, describing the mighty powers and fierce weapons these beings wielded. Gods who could move through the air silently or in glowing radiance, striking the ground with fire and lightning at will. Could these descriptions better fit what we would recognize today as a UFO encounter? Could these gods have revisited a Greek village in September of 1990 in full view of multiple witnesses? Could the ancient writings of Plato and Homer not have been metaphors, but actual accounts of extraterrestrial contact? Join the theorists as they climb the slopes of Mount Olympus and go the distance in the Megas Plantinos UFO Encounter.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing, Case File 136, Megas Plantinos. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
Are you flossing your teeth?
Are you flossing
kidding me right now?
Hey, listen, I thought I'd get it out before it started. My bad.
Holding a fucking floss.
In case anyone's wondering, I got it.
You're a flossy. You want a brush too?
Like, hey, listen. This is our second time recording this fucking one, right?
You throw some scope in there or what?
Yeah, you got. Where's your scope? Where's your electric toothbrush? What do you got?
Got your water pick out too?
Washing my mouth down with some fucking Coors.
Dude, you have your background blur on, so we can't see what kind of beer that is. It looks like you're drinking a tub of peanut butter.
No, it's my Lion's koozie. That's what it is.
Oh yeah, there he is.
Anyways,
do you lose the beers in it often?
You can do better.
I could. I wasn't prepared.
Happy 420, everybody.
To my notes.
All my fellow herbalists out there. If you want to take part in Zell's weed smoking game through this podcast, if you're watching a live stream, you're gonna see me get up, and that's your cue to also get up and smoke a huge bong rip. Just wait.
Every
good game.
Yeah.
Well thought out.
Every single time Zell leaves, where we can play a new practical joke on him when he comes back.
And the more we go, the more I just won't care, and I'll just pretend like nothing's happening.
It'll work, because you'll forget the last time we already pranked you.
I listened back to that prank. It was a great prank.
Oh, it was unreal, yeah. Man.
I got back, and my reaction was just like, are you for real? You can't hear me? For like 5 minutes. I'm like, if you can't see what I'm doing in that, but I'm unplugging like all the cords. I'm like, what the fuck did I do? Did I push something? I know it. Is there a secret button on this thing?
Good. Suck it, Zell.
Did anyone call you later last night?
I turned off the app.
Oh, did you? Oh.
Boo.
Boo, yeah. I thought sure it was
so. Any voicemails, though?
For anyone listening that wasn't on, listen to our Patreon-only live stream last night, we now officially have a phone number that works. You can call a number, leave us a voicemail. We are going to get up and running here sooner than later. Some call-in shows where we'll pick a topic, take calls, have a little group chat. It'll be lots of fun. If you want that kind of information when those are happening, get on our Patreon.
I'll get the phone number going here soon. I don't have it right now. It's not quite officially right now. It's just set up to my personal mobile, and I'm the only person who can hear it. So we're going to get it into the board through Skype, and so everyone can have a little listen.
All right. Megas Plantinos. Round is that two. How I even say it?
Platanos? I think so.
Pretty close.
Pretty close? What is
pretty
it?
Pretty close.
Do you have a Greek?
I'm sure. I have no idea. It's Megas Platanos, maybe?
Megas Platanos.
Yeah, I read Greek names. I don't know. I take a look at Greek names and I say how I think it sounds. And then I hear somebody else say it and they're like, oh, yeah, you're wrong. I was
way
wrong.
How do you pronounce Achilles?
Achilles.
Achilles.
Yeah, just like same Achilles. Thing. How do you? Hercules. Same thing.
Hercules.
Megas Platanos.
So we're talking about Megas Platanos UFO crash. This is a event that took place in 1990 in the Greek town of Megas Platanos, which is a bit south of Mount Olympus, and about that. It's in central Greece. And this happened in the 2nd of September. And what exactly happened was that there were multiple accounts of people witnessing what they described as large, brightly lit crafts. And not just one, not just two, but like half a dozen of these things, which appeared to move silently through the skies of Mega Platanos. Now, usually these wouldn't be so, you know, a sighting of lights and orbs and things like that doesn't go so far. But again, this is classified as a crash. Accounts from this event have people observing what seemed to be one of the lights exhibiting a kind of erratic movement, and it kind of just fell from the sky and seemed to crash into the ground. One of the witnesses was named...
Here we go, Dan. Here you got it.
Trantos Karatangos.
Dude, is Karatangos? What's a Greek? What's a Greek accent? How does one do a Greek accent?
Trantos.
Yeah, do your Michael
Trantos
Scott.
Karatangos.
Andrew, you got a Greek accent?
No, I just stole it from Michael Scott when he was. Let's this is Mykonos it. Characters. Mykonos.
Kantos, Kantantos, something like that.
Is he? He's probably a descendant of Zeus, right? We can assume that.
I think more like sure. That.
Mykonos.
Everyone is a little bit. I wouldn't doubt it.
Keratranos, Jos. Yeah, Zeus got around.
So, Mr. Trantos was a shepherd who had been working around in that area, and he told investigators who went to look at this crash where it happened. It happened 500 meters from where he stood. He said that he observed flames and fires spreading from the vegetation that was around the crash area.
I'll stop now, you right there for a second. I'm going to stop you right there because I want to dig deep into this for a second. I know, looking at me and with all my knowledge that I'm well known for, like outside of like the shepherd, he does something with sheep, right? Is that what a shepherd does?
A shepherd herds sheep.
Like with they've got like the cane, right? The rounded cane.
Yeah, they like grab the sheep. They like pretty much break sheep neck when they're trying to round them up. They like grab them that fucking cane and pull them in. That's what I always thought.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I know. That's kind of what I thought. But like my main question is in every article I read, it said old Trantos Karatangos. It said he was working in the area at 3 a.m.
Well, maybe
so what kind of hours do shepherds work?
Dude, maybe he's guarding against wolf. Like maybe there's fucking wolves in Greece and he's guarding against the wolves trying to fucking take a stock that early in the morning.
Dude, if you have to take stock of your sheep at 3 a.m, that's the worst job.
Listen, everybody fucking knows sheep don't sleep. Because how else are you going to fucking count them when you try to sleep?
That's very true. They're just heading to everyone's dreams. That's why you got to keep them in the fields.
That's busiest time for them.
Maybe.
At 3 a.m?
Yeah, clearing fences.
Maybe he gets up at 3. Maybe he just got up. Maybe he goes to sleep early, got up real early to go check on his on the sheep.
That's a really good question as to why. That's a good question. I'm not sure what kind of hours shepherds keep. I'm sure it's quite long. I know some of them will probably end up sleeping out there. I mean, if you don't have a
probably sleep with the
shepherd
sheep.
Dog or something.
Yeah,
I suppose. I mean, it's a lot of outdoor time. It's,
maybe there's maybe he had nice. A shepherd dog Listen. That died, and now he has to take duty over that dog. So now he's protecting from the wolf. He's out there. He's out there with his cane.
Because I'm like, my belief in this story hinges on old Trantos, whether I find him believable. So one of the things that I find, I'm like instantly this will be more reliable to me if someone's like, oh, hell yeah, man. Shepherding, you're working 19-hour days. You're up at 2. You're, you know what I mean? You're not pulling any. Those sheep, all they want to do is run away from you. You got to keep herding them in. It's crazy. I'll be like, okay, well, then that makes sense. But for me, I was like, it's dark. Like, do they, like, are they, build a fence. Like, what is going on with sheeping? Why is it so hard? There's got to be a better way.
Especially
if you're working
in 1990.
Yeah, it's not like your ancient times. Yeah. This is an ancient Greece we're talking about.
Maybe this is a goddamn hard worker. Gets up early, goes to bed late, always tending sheep.
I don't know. Apparently, shepherding is kind of a big thing in Greece and also places like New Zealand and Australia. But it's not so much, I don't think, the wolves they have to worry about, but it's saying here about like feral dogs are a big problem.
Fuck, almost the same thing. Speaking of sheep herders in New Zealand and Australia, when I was in Australia, I watched a competition. No joke. It was like a pro competition of how fast you can shave a sheep.
Right. Those are sheep shearing contests.
It's crazy. I could not believe that was a real thing. These guys are just shaving a sheep in like 20 seconds, the whole thing.
Do they do that with the electric razors?
Because I think they have ones where they do it with the shears too, like the mechanical ones, the big scissors.
Maybe. The one I seen was like a giant electric razor and there's like, bah,
right.
Bah,
yeah. Bah. But I think they also the ones where they do it with the traditional like.
So you're on vacation in Australia. And that's what you chose to spend your time.
Dude, we got a lot of Australian listeners. I'm telling you, this was a big event. People were getting hammered at this place. It was like going to like watch darts or something. Like people just got hammered and watched.
You could have went and watched an NRL game. You know what I mean?
Well, I watched them all. Dude, I watched everything I could. But and sheep shaving was just part of the docket, along with AFL, the National Rugby League, and
NRL.
Sheep shaving.
You know what though? Listen, I would say this. I would equal that, like equate that to like coming to Canada and being like one of the days you go and spend at the rodeo and watch like all the like where they tie up the little calves and stuff and tackle them. And you're like, funny watching people get wrecked for like an afternoon and get drunk.
No, but that's like, worldwide. Ah, rodeo is worldwide. Sheep shaving is only in like select parts of the world.
Yeah.
Anyways.
What did this sheep shaver see?
His hardworking sheep shaving shepherd.
So Mr. Trantos said that he described a area of burnt area, like flames coming out from what it seemed to be something had crashed on the ground. So this was early in the morning, about 3 a.m. And as the morning, you know, waned on, it seemed that the remaining five crafts that were hovering in the area seemed to be like two at a time would drop down and seem to hover close to what was seen as the crash site. You know, as daylight came, they had another small group of local residents who all ended up venturing out to the spot, and they said that they saw the same thing. It was a small, dark, burned oval shape in the ground. So after the lights departed, people said this thing is like the burned area seemed very acute, like it had been cut with a knife, is what they said. So it was a very defined oval area. And so all the people decided it would be a good idea. So many of the people who discovered the crash site took a bunch of tiny pieces.
I heard they took like what looked like wire and like burnt like remains of whatever was there.
Right. They took them as souvenirs.
100%. Every single one of us here would have done exactly the same thing.
Yep.
100%.
I would have just started running.
Yeah, okay, maybe Andrew.
Andrew wouldn't have made it to the ground itself, but...
No, I would have kept the peace for sure. It's wild to me that everyone described it as like, they're like, if you, from what we saw, it looked like it was like a recovery mission. These things were like came down and recovered whatever crashed.
Right. So even after this event, a short while after, the Hellenic, the Greek Air Force, actually came to investigate themselves. And they said, the residents of the area said that whatever was left there, they took.
Now, do we have any pictures or anything like that of anything that was left? Do we have any evidence?
Oh, dude, everyone knows photos in the 90s aren't reliable.
This is true.
Yeah, but those people would still probably have those.
What do you think? All these people have cameras on shepherd salaries?
Like, dude, it's 3 in the morning.
Come on.
As far as I know, no one has ever come forward with any of the wreckage.
No, and there's no photos of this particular incident.
Well, they're also saying that people lost it. And I'm like, how do you lose something like that?
Oh, no, dude. If I had something like that, it'd be right here on my wall every day. Yeah, every single time
nice
I'd be like...
like shadow box, like a little like...
Yeah,
like
100%. Little, yeah. And I'd turn to it every day and I'd be like, hey, guys, see this? See this here?
Yeah, but maybe they had
some... piece of a spacecraft.
Government
you remember this shit?
Knock yeah. on their doors and fucking buy it off them. Give them some hush money.
It is true. They are shepherds. Are they prone to taking buyouts?
All right. First,
save the farm.
If you're right? playing,
this could be a movie.
If you're playing the game, this is the first rip. Keep going though. I'll be right back.
This.
Why does he have to go?
I don't know. He doesn't like smoking in there, I guess.
Is he goes like right outside? Oh, he has to go outside. He's the one that smoke in the studio.
Now I forgot what I was talking about.
Talking about giving bribes
oh, yeah,
to
our
shepherds.
This could be a movie. This could be a movie, right? He finds the piece of metal. The farm's in disrepair, right? He's like, the bank, you know, he owes money on the bank. The government comes in and he's like, this is the end of the movie where he finds the alien metal and he sells it to the government to save the farm.
Oh, you know, and you know what he's doing is he's using that, he's forged that alien metal into fucking sheep shears. And that's how he wins all the contests.
that's why the Greek are world renowned for their sheep shaving.
Well, doesn't everybody know that?
Ask any one of these Australians. That's, you know what? I wouldn't even be surprised if what we're saying is 100% fact. That the best, and this is the most logical thing I've ever heard. They made them into sheep shears to shave the sheep to win all the contests to save the farm. Yeah.
One thing I find pretty funny is that the official statement from the Greek Air Force was that they said that what the people had witnessed was a Soviet satellite or a small plane.
That's quite the variation.
Right? Dude, and there's a huge gap between those two things.
And there's a huge gap between like even what they describe. Like to me as a person, I'm like, satellites don't do that and small planes don't do what they've described. So to be like, yeah, it was a satellite or a small plane, it's ludicrous to what these people have said they've seen. Like, why not be like, it was helicopters would be closing and be like, we didn't hear them. And they're like, they're new ones. And then just walk away. Right? You would be like, all right, okay, well, maybe, yeah, helicopters can hover. But they describe lights
burn holes
floating
in the ground, like, yeah,
they describe the one crashing, these other ones just hovering silently, the other one's coming down and appeared to be retrieving the wreckage of the down one and then leaving silently. I'm like, what small plane? How is that a small plane? And that's all that's one small plane. No, it's a Russian satellite.
So the people claim that the craft, when they got there was no actual craft, there was just debris, right? So when the Greek Air Force came, they just would have found the same stuff, just the burn,
the
like
same
burn
debris,
in the ground?
Whatever was left after those. What you miss is we determined that the shepherds came, took the metal, and the reason they lost the metal is because they forged it into shears, so they could go around and win all the sheep shaving competitions around the globe.
That's gold. That's
super lightweight space age sheep shears.
Just some super alloy, and never gets dull.
Yeah, and they did it to save the farm.
Right? I like this.
That's
theory.
That's in the movie. We should, man, once we're big and we can have ATD Productions, this will be our feel good movie. Right?
The sheep shaving shepherd.
We'll call it Little Lamb Cuts.
Huh? Write the script. I'm in.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I think we could probably crowdfund like $500 to put that together.
I just don't know how we can squeeze.
I don't know
Harry
how much we're
going to
get
Sasquatch
that many sheep.
In
how
it.
Much does sheep cost?
Dan is definitely playing Trantos.
Yeah.
Cantaros.
Dan Kerr Trantos.
Stelio Cantos. Does that name ring a bell with anybody? Yep. Is that what you're singing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it. That's why it was driving me nuts. That's fucking funny.
What is it?
I don't recognize it.
We gotta play it in after hours. You have to.
Okay, explain it in after hours. I have no idea what that is.
It's fucking gold.
But I mean, that's pretty much what you get from Megas Platinos. Now, I mean, we kind of picked this one because, you know, Greek UFOs, like Greece is not any stranger to kind of what you would.
Oh, hell
you
no.
Could say as like extraterrestrial activity, because like even in the early 2000s, there was another case where people had sighted UFOs near the town of Cantorini. And this one was reported by a family, and they witnessed not only sphere-shaped crafts that were hovering and moving over the skies of their small village, but what they also described was that they had also seen some sort of entity, some sort of creature that had entered their house on several occasions.
What?
Right.
Dude,
and
like
they said
Kelly Hodge?
These sightings occurred at night, and it was some sort of, they described it as, you know, a strange looking creature about 3 feet tall and what looked to be reptilian brown skin and white hair. I'm not sure if the white hair is like on the head. I'm picturing like a mohawk. That's what I'm picturing.
So kind of like Spike.
Yeah. Perfect 80s you know? Mohawk.
Dude, that sounds just like that. What's the?
And he's wearing tiny slit sunglasses.
And they said he was wearing something, so he was wearing clothes. And they said it's something akin to a robe or gown. I don't know why they didn't say toga, because that's what you would wear if you were a Greek reptilian.
He's also wearing fingerless leather gloves in my hand.
Dan, you've described fucking Spike from Gremlins.
Maybe.
No, that's him. Google Spike from Gremlins. It looks exactly like him.
I know what Spike from Gremlins looks like. Yeah, but yeah, I guess, yeah, or, you know, Spike. Okay, Spike from Gremlins wearing a toga. That is what you get. That's what I'm picturing.
And that's not like,
now.
Like that description of a reptilian is like not far off of other 80s descriptions of reptilians, of them looking like they're straight out of 80s pop culture. That's pretty commonly seen. But anyway, reptilians, they're described very similar. But if that thing, I was always thinking like in my head, my first initial thought is like, oh, dude, if that thing was in my house, I'd fuck it up. But I'm like, I get scared of a spider. Like, I would not fuck anything up. That's like, that's a T, what we just described.
Yeah. If you get up in the middle of the night to like get a drink of water and you like turn around the corner and it's just a fucking like gremlin in a toga. Like,
that's your, you just said water, buddy. That's the first mistake. Keep that shit away from him. Right?
You spill it.
Everybody knows you keep water away from the mogwais.
Yeah. Well, I would end up like, if you just turned the corner and you just saw it, like I'd end up throwing it on and just make things worse. But it'd be like,
just like fuck!
While they're bubbling for a little bit, like, and like with the water, do you think you could like just quickly
stomp on them?
Yeah.
just
like, just like soccer kick them into the closet. It just like
soccer kick them. Okay. This reminds me of this. Take a look at this. I'm not going to tell you what it's from. Let's have a little peek. We talked about this encounter before, the same type of creature.
Yeah, 100%, dude.
Oh, that's the, fuck, what's that one?
Does Dan know?
Something gremlin.
Looks exactly like Spike, so with all the mohawk.
Shit, I forgot what they call it. We talked about him, too.
Yeah, we talked about it. It's that Kelly Hopkinsville encounter where they fucking climb on the roof and shit.
Yeah,
they're tapping on the glass and shit. Yeah. Sounds like the same type of creature.
Those weird little fucks.
Is that the one when they're on the roof and stuff like that, yeah, like terrorizing that family? Yeah, they're like tapping on the terrifying story.
Yeah, they're tapping on the tin roof and shit, and the guys are like shooting the guns like out the window at the creatures and shit.
Dude, honestly, that's one of the scariest alien encounters we've talked about.
Oh yeah. They're hopping around on the front lawn, like I think they're tapping sticks or something. They have.
What they didn't tell you about that story, though, is that that family actually went to a Chinese market earlier that day and purchased a few Mugwais.
Yes.
So what you're saying is Mugwais are just alien creatures that are only sold in. Where'd they get it?
I got from like some old Asian market or something like that, if I remember correctly.
So what you're saying is Mugwais have caused coronavirus is what you're saying, basically.
Well, don't eat them. I don't know why people are trying to fucking eat them.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff people shouldn't be eating that people are eating, so careful. You never know what the consequences could be.
But that'd be terrifying. I think in my head, my first initial thought's like, oh, I'd fuck that thing up. But like, I remember like being in Thailand and stuff and like seeing a gecko in my house and being like, like just completely freezing.
Buddy, I had to catch a mouse in my house the other day and like I couldn't help. I don't understand. I'm not scared of mice. They're not scary at all. Every time I'd go to try and scoop it up with a dustpan and it would like move, I would jump right on my fucking shoe. Like I'd be like, bah! Like, why? I could fucking smush this fucking thing. But yet I'm shitting my pants every time it moves.
Oh, dude, seeing that fucking creature, I can't even imagine the heart jump that you would get. Like, fucking hell. And it just like being at the end of the hallway and just like having that, like, just that long stare down with each other for a second. Like, fuck that, man. Terrifying.
But so this type of creature, the first thing when they kind of described it, you know, Greece is no stranger to monsters from myth and legend. So it's not, I mean, if they did see something, you know, could it have possibly been something that was already there or something like that? There are rumors, and they were saying at the time of these sightings, like there were kind of rumors that went around, and I think they're still around today, that there's always been this kind of idea that there is an underground alien base underneath Mount Olympus.
Oh, yes.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Now we're getting to the good
stuff. Now we're getting to the meat.
Talk about this.
Yeah.
So people have put
fucking
forth
Hollow Olympus.
Hollow Olympus. Come on now. We're about to drop some truth bombs on you.
Here they come.
So people have put forth a theory, and it's not completely crazy, but that Greek gods and monsters, which were part of myth and legend of, you know, Greek history, were perhaps, you know, just extraterrestrials.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the greatest theories out there. That's straight ancient aliens.
You have the one, it's not just myth and legend. There's actually like a historical account where a Roman general, Sylla, when he was on a campaign in Albania on his march to Greece. They said that his army actually captured a satyr. It was written like in a historical account, not like a legend, not it wasn't part of like, you know, the Odyssey or the Iliad or things like that. Like, this was an actual historical account. And then they said that they caught this thing and they identified it as a satyr, which is a half man, half goat creature.
Phil.
Dan.
And they said that they couldn't speak or that it made sounds.
That sounded like Danny DeVito.
Right. Need to find some whores. Like, can I offer you an egg in this trying time?
It's a rum ham.
But they described it as making sounds like a goat or a horse, but it couldn't speak English and it didn't seem to understand them talking to it. So I mean,
speak Greek?
That's great. So hold on, was the satyr in this satyr here? I gotta picture this for a second. Was this satyr so it could only make noises of a goat, like that weird ass like when goats yell?
Oh my god!
So here's my question: was the top half the goat and the bottom half the man in that scenario? Like, is that still technically a satyr?
That's all they do.
Yeah. If I heard that in the middle of the night, I'd fucking book
demons.
It.
That's so fucking demons right there.
Are fucking creepy enough, man.
If I hear the crack of the wood, a crack of a stick in the middle of the night, dude, I'm done. I'm like, oh God, please, Jesus, save me from these woods. Get me home. And I shall worship you, oh Lord. And then I get home and I'm like, whew, I made it. Thank you, me, for getting me out of there.
So you have tons of creatures that, you know, are described in Greek legend, which are, you know, people describe as almost like analogs to extraterrestrials today that they describe. And, you know, having satyrs, half man, half human, or any of the half human, half, you know, animal creatures from Greek legend are just not, maybe they were based on some sort of truth.
All the gods were, in my opinion.
Well, that's what's cool too, because like if you read like any of Jack Kirby's internals, that's basically his storyline too, right? He was using basically the basis for the characters were like the Greek gods, and they were all aliens.
Yeah, there's some people base their theory on the idea that some of the inventions or some of the technology that Greeks were rumored to possess or were actually, you know, in historical accounts possessed themselves were in fact given to them. The idea or the actual technology itself was, you know, as they claim, it came from the gods, you know, and that's just a way of saying it came from extraterrestrials, that they gave them the technology or the inspiration to build machines, because the Greeks were in some areas, they were fantastically advanced in the ideas of math, philosophy, things like that.
Well, I was just going to say, like, why are we so fast to like pull away from human, you know, ingenuity and be like, ah, no, that's way too advanced for them. They couldn't have created that. Where we got fuckers now inventing iPhones and all this other crazy shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like,
yeah, but you know now, who gave us those? The gods, Andrew. That's when they crashed in Roswell. That's where we got the technology. We're still doing the same thing we did back in Greece. Yeah, it's all from aliens.
Reverse
engineered
all that
shit. How does
the
TV work? Tell me right now. You don't know.
No one knows how it aliens works.
Hey, listen, you're talking to the wrong guy, because I think it was until I was about 9 years old, I wouldn't change in front of the TV because I thought they could see me. So.
Nothing's changed, eh? I forgot what we're talking about, dude.
Talking about fucking gods. So we're talking about, so if you go with ancient aliens route, the gods of like the stories of Mount Olympus, and what was the father of all the gods, like Cronos. Or something? He ate all his children except for Zeus, and Zeus flew into Cronos and freed all his children. And you're like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But then if you say you were a person back there who had no real knowledge of like anything, like no flying craft or anything, and then you look up and there's like an alien mothership. This is the real theory here. Cronos was an alien mothership, and then all the Greek gods were like other ships that were going into them, and then the other was like a sky battle or something, and they defeated Cronos, and then they wrote down the mythology. That's the ancient aliens version, and then the other version is that the Greeks just followed the constellations and then gave names and like anamorphized. Is that the right term?
Anthropomorphized.
See, to me, I'm like, to have such, when you look at some of the Greek technology, like I will talk about it in a bit, but like the anti-cathedra mechanism and stuff, to me, I'm like, when I look at those things, like, yeah, they're impressive, but I look and I go like, those are very like human in the realms of what humans can do. So I'm always like, I like to think of why couldn't it be like time traveling humans, right? Or humans from the future or something that were back then. And they have this technology. So that's why they're depicted as people, right? But like, you know, with, say Zeus's thunderbolt, say it's like a, you know, if you never saw a gun before, right? And how would you describe it? You're like, if you had no context, I could see you being like, oh man, like he shot thunder out of his hands. It was crazy.
Well, it is the very same thing, right? Because like when you shoot a bullet, like supersonic speeds creates that crack, like that thunder crack, especially on like a large caliber bullet, like a really big, like 300 magnum, like it cracks the air so hard.
You shoot someone with a bullet and they die. It's not like people are like, here's the bullet that killed him, right? Like they'd be like, holy shit, there's a hole in him. He just got struck by lightning.
Well, and when you listen to all these stories about the gods, they're all very human. You know what I mean? They all have these human traits. Like when you read about Zeus, the most important thing you take away from that guy is Zeus fucks
a lot.
Jeez,
Holy smokes! Nobody fucks more than Zeus.
And here's the: if Zeus was an alien, there'd be way more hybrid people walking around. You know what I mean? Like
totally,
dude. He was swinging dick everywhere.
Zeus fucks. That guy fucks.
He fucks. How many? I don't know my Greek mythology that well, but how many like half gods are accredited?
Did he create
to Zeus? Yeah.
463.
Like half gods are actually legitimate children. Well, legitimate children as well. I guess. Illegitimate children.
Yeah, like
that guy loved thunderbolts and fucking. That's the two. That's what he was about. Sometime he'd do the weather and shit, but like. Only when he wasn't doing the other two.
Yeah.
It's called Thunderlips.
But okay, so I'm going to say like, even like, I'm thinking in my head, like going with like, maybe like the analogy for it's shooting, the thunder is like shooting a bullet or something, right? And if you shot someone, like a smaller caliber, say they did do autopsies and they're like, oh, look at the womb, and they wound, and it wouldn't go straight through, because many times a bullet will go through, like bounce around, and if it comes out, it'll pop out somewhere else. Right? And they'd be like, oh, the only thing could do that.
Well, if he's shooting at 22, it's not going to be that loud of a crack. And
no,
it's not going to have an exit wound is going to be a 22 that's ricocheting through.
No. But like, in, I don't know, 45, 9 mil?
I mean, but like, are we talking autopsies here? Because we're talking in a time where people are getting fucking leached and sacrificed. So I think that's there's no fucking CSI Greece fucking.
Wasn't like Greece like the dawn of medicine?
Oh, I'm sure it was, but not when they're fucking worshiping the gods.
Like, listen to this. I'm saying, like, say if fucking some strong man, some like, what's that guy's name? Thor Bjorgensen or whatever, that giant?
Fucking mountain or whatever.
If he was on some sort of crew in some 80s movie that got time traveled back to space, they would think that motherfucker is Hercules.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They would be like, oh my God, like the shit he's lifting, like they don't know how to work out their muscles to like maximize. So I'm saying like even one of us would impress.
Buddy, those guys did everything with their hands back in the day. When you look at any of those fucking sculptures, they're jacked.
I'm just saying they're not lifting. I'm saying someone who trains to lift is going to dust people. Like there'll be a couple like strong guys where they're like just naturally strong, but like, you know what I mean? Like you send back like a power lifter.
I don't know, man.
I bet you people are stronger back then.
I'm not talking like you or me, Andrew. I'm talking like someone who's fucking strong.
Because I'm pretty sure that there's
really strong.
I'm pretty sure there's Greek sailing records like that. They've been found like of rower, like rowing records. And then today's modern rowers are like, that's untouchable. That's a record that is not even humanly possible.
Buddy, these guys are walking everywhere they need to go. They're carrying everything they need to fucking bring with. Like they're doing everything with their hands. Like these guys.
That's what I mean. But if you like, go with like a linear progression of humanity, like there's like, oh, we weren't very advanced till 12,000 years ago. And we discovered farming, then slowly society and better building methods. And it got progressively better and better and better. Then you get to some of these ancient structures that are so much more advanced than we can currently make. And you're like, well, maybe all those stories, like we've put a good picture together, but I don't think that a lot of the stuff that we think about ancient Greece and stuff is probably true. Now let's talk about the mechanism. So we briefly mentioned it. It was Antikythera mechanism. Is that how you pronounce it? Anyways, like what was it? How long ago? It was not that long ago. They were diving 150 feet under the sea in the Aegean Sea, just off the coast of Greece, and found an ancient shipwreck. And inside, they found this mechanism. And I don't know how they deduced, but they've deduced that this is an astronomical calendar. Could predict eclipses predict eclipses and movement of planets. And
I thought this was an ancient fighter jet. What are you talking about?
That's fucking.
You ruined the joke.
It's my bad. Sorry.
That is a fucking great clip though, and because we all watched a clip of Ancient Aliens where they talk about this mechanism. And who is it that makes that comparison? David Childress?
Yeah.
He says the finding of these gears and this Antikythera mechanism is the equivalent of finding a jet airplane in King Tut's tomb. And I was like, holy shit, that's a stretch. Just leaps and bounds away.
Yeah, you like
impressive. Mechanism is impressive.
Here's the mechanism. If you're watching the live stream, you can follow along. But it's like it's essentially just a gear. It looks like a gear. It's like in three pieces in the museum. It's in three different pieces now. But they've deduced that it's actually like a set of gears that can like accurately predict astronomical movements. So they didn't think that like machining was like technically actually as far as like our linear
this
progression of humanity.
This is 1,500 years before they knew they could do this.
They said like...
Yeah, but-
well...
What if that was something that came to Earth, you know what I mean, from space, from Gear World, during the Gear Wars? Like, has anybody thought about that? Like, that could be a relic from Revolio Clocks.
Listen,
Jr.
This story can go that way. Like, we could make a serious case for the Gear Wars being real. And some gear faces came to Earth and set up shop.
They're fighter jets.
Are you saying Zeus is a gearhead?
Well, dude, they talk about the island of Rhodes. And is what book? In what book in there, let's say, the statues, the statues would come alive and move like a human or something like that in one of the books. I can't remember which one. It's been a while since I watched Ancient Aliens. Watched a clip today. But I was like, you know what? What's that guy's name? David Wilcox?
David Wilcox.
He goes, he's fantastic. I love just fantastic. He goes, well, listen, if they knew about these gears, it's not that far away to say that they knew robotics.
And I think he actually said advanced robotics.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? Like anybody who's been around statues and shit like that, like, you know what I mean? You go to museums or whatever. Don't you ever get that eerie feeling that they're like watching you and kind of like moving?
Dude, some of those ancient statues are so precise.
They're spectacular, but they're not living and moving. So to me, like, this is where my brain goes when I hear that. And like someone says that live that like living and moving. I imagine like, you know, when you're watching all those weird, fucking old movies where they paint the human statues and they just stand there. And then they'll like change position every now and then. But it's like, it's just people painted who just stay really still.
You mean like the guys who panhandle?
What?
What?
Like the guys that are fucking pretending to be statues that are panhandling?
Yeah, human robot statues.
Not those crusty jugglers. I'm talking like in the old movies. But yeah, same guys. The living statue. Have you never seen like a movie like The Mummy?
Have you never seen a movie, Andrew?
Have you ever seen a movie? There's like
Greek. No, I don't watch them because I feel like they're watching me back. Okay?
But this machine is like, it is cool that they found it. Like, I think Ancient Aliens overhypes it a little bit.
Of course, but that's half the fun.
This is crazy technology that they got from aliens, I'm like, that technology doesn't seem that useful if people are traversing the fucking stars to get here. And I'm like, they traverse the stars and then they get out and they're just like, yeah, let me see here. Let me crank this thing here. Like, oh no, back it up. Oh, well, there we go.
Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe like they didn't use it, but they instilled knowledge of the
cosmos. No, I got
it, cosmos.
Dude. I cracked it in my 420 haze.
Nice.
It came to me.
All right, let's hear it.
Right? What's that advanced Lego?
Kinex?
Technics.
Right?
No.
This is just some kid's Kinex toy from an alien race. And they're just like, put it together. Like, oh, look at this thing. It tells the stars. Ha ha. Like, some kid put it together on the spaceship and then gave it to a human. And they were like, this is from the gods.
Well, maybe. In my mind, though, I feel like people have been, like watching the stars and making like astronomical like buildings for a long time. Like you can consider Stonehenge, like Adam's calendar in like South Africa and like a bunch of other ones. So you could say like that knowledge has been around humanity for a long time, may have been lost in like the dark ages and then rediscovered. But as far as like the machining of advanced like technology like that, that was 1500 years earlier. Like that's why it seems so crazy.
Yeah. But look at a picture of that and then look at a picture of an astrolabe.
Yeah, pull up one of those.
Well, that thing's been at the bottom of the ocean for 1,500 years, so you can barely.
Right, but I'm saying like that one they said was like they had evidence that it was inside like a wooden box, and if you should like they have actual pictures of what they think are like recreations or reconstructions of what they think it actually looks like, and it's like it's an it looks very similar to an astrolabe, which existed about the same time. The first ones that they have are like 200 BC, which was this one. They dated this one to like 200 something BC, I think, as well.
Let's pretend, because I obviously know what that is, obviously, but let's pretend like the people listening don't know what that is. You want to explain what that is to us, Dan? Well,
an astrolabe is a small mechanism, which is a series of like interlocking gears and stuff like that, which basically that when you turn it, it's like a dial and you can set it to a certain date. And, you know, some astrolabes are more complicated than others. But what they think the Antikythera mechanism was just an astrolabe that you could set a date, like you could move it to a certain date and then it would show you the approximate locations of the planets in the sky.
That thing that Zell just put up on the screen is the exact same fucking thing.
Similar, very similar.
Like, what is? I don't understand. It's just not all crusty from being at the bottom of the fucking.
But
ocean.
Is astrolabe actually from Greece?
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought it was like in.
They've been around. Astrolabes have been around for a long time, like since at least
an early BC, the earliest astrolabe. Yeah, 200 BC.
So these guys are trying to sell us on space or on fucking fighter jets, and they've already been making this kind of thing? Like, Jesus.
Well, they said they were invented by the Hellenistic civilization, which is Greek, and by Apollonius of Perga.
So Apollonius. Ah, yes. Apollonius.
So they've been around for a while. Whether the Antikythera mechanism was actually one or something like, maybe it was just a really fancy one. But they look quite similar. That's all I'm saying.
100% look similar. It's hard to tell if it's fancy or not because it's all just like corroded and
yeah, it's not fancy now.
Not fancy now.
Yeah. I subscribe to the Greek gods. If they were anything like that, it was. I don't think it was aliens per se. I think it was I could further advance humans.
Right. Time travelers.
One of my favorite books, I think it's called Ilium, and it puts forth the idea that it was perhaps like really advanced humans that were like, they portrayed themselves or they put themselves out as gods, and they basically were, they threw the Trojan War like for entertainment.
They started it for entertainment.
Yeah. Imagine that though.
Imagine in the future, right? Our entertainment now is like pitting one versus one fighters in a cage.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yes. And then, what I'm saying is soon we're going to be like, that's not enough. Throw a couple. All right. Let's have them fight a bear. And then like soon you're like, you know what? This is boring. Like, I want to watch countries fight. I want to watch huge groups of people. They're like, well, you can't do that nowadays. We're too technologically advanced. So you jump in, you go down to Crazy Bob's Sunday time travel machine, and you can go and set up watch a war back in ancient times.
Yeah. It's nuts. Like one of the best parts of the book is like at the very beginning, and it talks about how one of the best parts of the Iliad, the story of the Trojan War, is when the Greek hero Diomedes basically goes berserk with the aid of Athena. Like Athena gives him like super awesome power, like God of War Kratos level powers. Dope. And he goes out and he just starts murking Trojans. And in the book, what they say is like, it wasn't magic. What she did was she like injected him with a type of like nanomachine that basically gave off, increased his strength and speed and all that stuff. And then gave off like the byproduct of that, instead of creating heat, it created light. So he like glowed when he did it.
Super Saiyan 1, 2, 3, 4, Super Saiyan Super.
The dude wrecks. He wrecks a shitload of people. He wrecks the guy who's like the second best fighter next to Hector. He wounds Aphrodite and he Hercules. Fucking beats Ares.
Oh shit!
Get out.
God of War.
Yeah, it's like one of the coolest parts. But but they talk about like, you know, how perhaps like nanomachines or advanced science could, you know, account for these stories of heroes and things like that. If you're running a giant Greek war just for fun and you wanted to make the greatest heroes,
give them PEDs.
Yeah. And if you can, your god, like they talk about how the gods were always invisible and they could only be seen when they wanted to be seen. So, you know, adaptive camouflage, invisibility, cloaking, it's not that far.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's time travelers and they had such a good time that they're like, we're not leaving. And then the war with Kronos was that it was the time cops coming back to be like, listen, your time's up. You got to leave. You can't stay here and keep meddling. And they had a big war with the time cops.
Jean-Claude.
Yeah. And they caused too much damage, so they just had to be left.
So are you saying that the war between the time cops and the person that went back to start the war was...
Yeah, Kronos.
Kronos and the gods?
Who's... Was it fucking... It's fucking... Was Rodman the other time cop?
No. No.
No, you're thinking of the wrong movie. You're double team.
Was it double take?
That's
double take. Fucking Rob Schneider. Yeah. They fight a tiger in that one, I think.
Dude, listen, hear me out here.
Melissan.
Kronos is the god of time. Okay. That's what I'm saying. The time cops. Coming back in time to collect the time travelers. They didn't have any of it. Zeus, meanwhile, is like living up. He's like, listen, boys, like, we're staying here. I'm having affair after affair after affair. And he's pumping all his kids full of they're getting all his like weird PED super genes because it's in the future.
His nano jizz.
Yeah.
That's canon. This makes
perfect sense.
That's canon. Nano jizz.
Yeah. Yep. Hercules was a product of nano jizz.
Yeah. Well.
And it slowly runs out, right? That's why it's they filter down. In a couple generations, there was no more gods.
Nano jizzes who put the glad in Gladiator. We've learned it.
You heard it here first.
But I'm like, to be honest, I subscribe to that theory that we just came up with. I'm like, yes.
Well, it makes more sense that if there were actually alien gods from a different galaxy or different whatever, and they can come back here and they're having sex and impregnating girls. It doesn't seem biologically feasible, really. But it would make more sense if you came from the future. You're still a human.
Yeah.
It makes more sense.
Aliens like wouldn't give a shit, but it seems like the Greek gods like had a good time.
Really?
Like,
they partied like hard.
Fucking partying.
You know?
They fucked.
I heard that the Greek gods actually started 420. They're the original tokers. Heard that. Heard that today, actually, on the forums.
Did you really?
Along with a lot of other weird stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Hermes, man.
On that note, I'm going for round two if you're following the game. Be right back.
This fucking guy, man. We should all just fucking... I can't even think of a prank to play on him while he's gone.
Oh, no. When he comes back, nothing. Just pretend like we're saying stuff. Like, just mouth it.
We got to get him. We got to get him again in a fucking few weeks. When his guard's down, he just doesn't see it coming.
He's expecting it now.
Yeah, 100%.
That being said, I was expecting to get fucked with on the Ouija board, and it fucking got me.
Well, it's like, if we did that, he'd probably just
shut the stream down. What if we all don't move?
If he's going to know.
No, he'll just shut the stream down.
This is terrible timing.
Yeah, it's terrible. He'll know. It's too bad. We could try. I mean, we could try. That's the only thing we could do. But anyways, what we're talking about, what about the Greek gods?
No, more importantly, what the fuck is that picture behind you? I need to see it. Why is it not up?
Oh, okay, dude, it's not up. I'll tell you why it's not up. I wanted to put it up right behind me because I love this picture so much. But when I hang it, the light from my... Because, you know, I got to have the good lighting, frame my face and stuff, get that good shading. It glares off the picture so bad.
What is the picture, though? Like, what the fuck is it?
Oh, I'll hold it up for you. So it's an original Wired for Sound by, I can't remember the artist's name. I had it just a second ago. I think it's Zeg Bryan.
What flea market did you get it at?
Actually, my parents had it up in their house all the time. And I said, listen, if you're ever getting rid of that, I want it. It's an original poster designed from Sid Brack. It's from 1982. He has a whole collection of them. I found that out just earlier with Dan. My new goal is to collect the entire collection.
You better.
Oh, I'll go grab it.
Go grab it. I want to see this because I came in at the end there.
Oh, fuck. I've seen them.
Excited to see this. Oh, I know that picture from your parents' house. That's crazy. I recognize
that. Wired for Sound.
That was there the whole fucking time I've known you.
That's a solid 80s aesthetic. Like,
I know that picture from your parents' house. I recognize it vividly.
I love it. I love that picture. That picture is my childhood.
How many are in the collection?
I think six.
Oh, you can do it.
Gotta get those and some.
It's not gonna be hard. They're only like $18
on sculptures
Amazon.
And some pink neon, pink and blue neon lights.
But hear me out. Rhode Island. Them talking about. I'm going back to this. Forgot to talk about this. I want to talk about this earlier.
Okay.
I want to get into it more.
Get into it. Let's do it.
Talking about the living statues. How do they make the jump to robotics and having any kind of robots at all? Like, wouldn't there not be like more evidence that there was fucking robots?
That guy does that every single time.
David Wilcox.
Every single time.
He's the guy who's like taking Corey Good and the boys and the secret space program and Mars regression therapy, like to age you back to when you're like 20 years. This guy has gone full board. The whole Gaia platform is on board with Wilcox and Corey Good and the secret space program. And Corey Good went to Mars, was age regressed 20 years. And then you ask Corey Good about it and he can't tell you anything except he did it. And you're like, well, what? Same guy. It's wild. The stuff that goes on.
And Wilcox does it?
Yeah.
He does that stuff?
Well, man, Wilcox is deep.
I know. They always bring on Ancient Aliens to take. He's like the he's the last guy in the relay. And it's like he just pushes that theory all the way to the end. Right. It goes from like Childress to Tsoukalos than Daneken if they got him, and then it's fucking Wilcox it goes, to take it all the way home.
It goes like,
yeah, it's going way out there.
It goes starting from like, it's possible that we might not know quite enough about this ancient culture, and then Tsukalos goes, I'm not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens. And then you finally get to Wilcox, and he's like, it was the aliens.
100%. This is what they did. This is how they did it.
This is what they did. This is how they did it, and this is why I know.
Yeah.
It's good TV.
He's batting cleanup on that team, just like... sucking that one home, man.
Why don't we get into... Oh, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I'm just... So we've confirmed that Cyber 9 Systems has come from ancient Greece?
Yes, yeah. The Terminator is... Greek.
That's how it starts.
Cyberdyne is a Greek word.
Well, didn't Arnold play Hercules?
It's Greek for cog. Cog.
Yes, he did play Hercules in New York. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And he fought a bear.
This is true.
In real life. Probably.
Probably.
Why don't we get into some space news? Not a lot of space news on the space news front. One, because of all the coronavirus stuff going on. Two, because I completely forgot to get space news. but I can tell you for sure is that there is a low chance of auroras tonight or any night you're listening to this episode. There's a low chance of where you are right now.
So you're
a small chance of seeing auroras.
If you're watching it live, there's a small chance. If you're watching it on Friday, you missed
small chance. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whatever day you're listening to this.
Hey, Braden, here's a technical question for you. Yeah. What's the lowest the Northern Lights will get latitude? What's the lowest ever recorded? Do you know?
No, but I imagine it's like getting into, because I know it's seen in the northern states sometimes, so it's got to be, I just don't know how low, like how low do you go?
Well, I'm just saying
how
that
can you go?
80% of our listeners have never seen the Northern Lights.
That's why I'm saying when you listen to this, whatever day, whatever time, the chances are low of you seeing an aurora tonight. I think that's universal news.
That's not fake at all. That's one. He kept it broad, and he's not leading you on. You have a low chance to see an aurora tonight.
And I'm not saying there's no chance. So if you're living in a northern community and you happen to be like, hey, I'm listening to this, and I'm looking at him right now, you're that small chance.
You have just as good of a chance of seeing an aurora there as you do of having robots in ancient Greece.
There's always a 50% chance of seeing auroras. Either you do or you don't. 50-50.
Well, here's the thing. So we got Aurora Borealis, and the southern one is the...
Australis or something.
Australis.
Borealis, Aurora, because they're backwards.
Yeah. Now, if there was the biggest geostorm ever, fucking plasma blast coming everywhere... Could the two be so big that the Earth is just completely encompassed with auroras, like everywhere could see them? Like, how far down do they go? Now you got me curious.
That's what I mean. I don't think they would. I think if auroras got that bad, that it was that strong, I think that's the one they're talking about that would fry our electrical grid. If it was that powerful.
Lowest. I'm going to write that in right now. Lowest aurora.
Ever recorded?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't think it's lower than like 44 degrees north.
I think it's 40.
40?
40? Are you guys ready?
So. What do you got?
35 degrees north.
That's the lowest ever?
That's the lowest ever recorded.
What's that? Is that like San Francisco? Or how low is that? How low is San Francisco?
Let me look at their weird ass fucking map here. It's not that low. Probably not in California.
Probably close.
You said
35
picture.
Parallel north?
North.
Yeah.
It's pretty low. That's like North Carolina, low. Tennessee.
Yeah.
It's got to be Northern California somewhere.
Yeah.
No, it looks like Carafalon. It's like, Southern California. Like all of Oregon. I don't think it is the map I'm looking at it of the lowest ever recorded. Oh, no, no, 100%. You're right. I'm wrong. Yeah, it's like, it's a bit of Mexico might get it.
Maybe. Yeah. Like maybe like the tiniest part of Mexico, like Tijuana, maybe.
Oh, that's fucking low. Okay. Most of our listeners have a very, 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 very tiny chance of seeing an aurora in their lifetime.
But you're saying there's a chance.
There's always a chance, exactly. Andrew.
You know, but if there's luckily, a sudden polar shift or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Luckily, I fell short today for God's sake. Like
polar shift and then a gigantic solar flare.
Both Dan and Zell brought space news today.
I got some space news. Here's the great headline.
That's why I said Zell and Dan, because I knew. I didn't
How come nobody
even
asked me if I had a space news?
Because we've asked before. We've asked before, and you go,
space, is that space?
Is that even real, bro? Space isn't real.
Hey, here's an update. You guys are all trying to hide God. That's all I know.
I've been hiding God since day one. The whole podcast is about hiding God. If you couldn't tell,
the only space Andrew cares about is the empty space between his ears.
Oh,
this podcast is a goddamn prison.
Yeah, you couple it with.
I got some other space news. 99.9% of you listening won't go to space.
I'm going to go ahead and take that a couple decibels real or not. Further.
That's still a lot of people, though, because we have like a lot of, we actually have a lot of listeners.
Yeah, if you get.
That's not a lot of people.
99.999% of people will never go to space.
I mean, maybe. Yeah. So 99.9%.
I hope we don't have these words as bad listeners. As we eat those Donald Trump will never be president words. That'd be
See,
great.
That's how you know we're not time travelers.
Yeah, we don't. We can't predict anything.
We get shit wrong all the time.
We weren't allowed to. You'd ruin the future.
Yeah. All right.
What was your space news, though?
The expectations of the gravitational wave research community have been fulfilled. So as a couple of years ago, we talked about for the first time ever, they detected gravitational waves colliding.
Yeah.
And now for the first time ever, they've detected two significantly different masses of black holes colliding, further strengthening the theory and
gravitational waves.
And I guess they're almost seeing gravitational wave signatures almost every week now, but this is the first one that two like massively different sizes of black holes have.
Does this mean
together.
We just live in the ocean of space?
This is exactly, we're just a tiny little speck, man. We're
in the fucking ocean.
The Earth is just like an electron on the scale of the universe. Yeah. Really.
You think there's some mini people on some like electron fucking at the bottom of the ocean who are like fucking we're fucking sensing waves.
It's just people
called Atlanteans.
It's just people jumping in the pool and shit and they're sensing the waves and they're thinking it's
they're like
giant
yeah,
heavenly
fucking,
body.
I feel the gravitational ray of a black hole hitting the water. Cannonball.
That's Braden. Black hole's Braden. Huge rupture.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not putting anything past anything anymore. I just feel like we're just all a little piece of something bigger and smaller, or bigger or smaller, depending which way you go.
Yeah, infinitely.
Infinite. Oh.
And infinitely wide and tall and small.
And you could never get to the bottom of it. You could think about it you could think about it as like God created universe, but then who created God? You could think about it as a simulation universe, but who created the other simulators? Like, oh. Now you're getting to some 420. Discussions.
Chicken or the egg, man.
Yeah.
Chicken or the egg.
Maybe in after hours we'll smoke a couple more and then.
Dude, the chicken came first.
The egg came first, motherfucker.
But who laid the egg?
The proto
chicken. The fucking chicken did.
The proto chicken wasn't exactly the chicken.
The egg
was
placed
like
there by someone from the future.
God.
Someone reached back, placed the first egg.
You'd know that. Actually, you know what? I know who did it. It was the fucking Easter Bunny.
You know who did it? It was Adolf Hitler riding a Tyrannosaurus T-Rex with lasers on his fucking head and put the egg
lasers
underneath the chicken with the help of the Easter Bunny, who is the actual Jesus, because he was at the Last Supper and it wasn't
meme of all time. Is it's got like fucking Jesus on the crucifix and it's got some people coming up to him. They're like, Jesus, like, you know, any last words? Like, what can we do to like help you? And, you know, and then Jesus is like, I got one thing. They're like, what? Hide the eggs.
Hide kicks?
Oh, it's fucking funny.
All right. What was the space? Dan, did you have space news too? This has been the best space news of all time.
Great space news.
This was more funny than anything else. That a company named Palantir, which is based out of Silicon Valley, has been awarded to provide the software and data services for the U.S. Space Force in order to track objects that orbit the Earth and also monitor space traffic. And the contract is for a project called the Kobayashi Maru.
What?
You don't understand how fucking nerdy these fucking, like, this is beyond space nerds. Like, this is like nerdiness beyond. It's a bunch of space nerds coming up with super nerdy stuff. Yeah, that Star Trek Palantir is from The Lord of the Rings. The Palantir were the evil
seeing orbs.
Yeah, the evil seeing orbs, and the Kobayashi Maru was the test from Star Trek and Starfleet Academy that Captain James T. Kirk was the only person to ever defeat it.
Dude, the chairman of that company, Palantir, Peter Thiel, he's a fucking weird dude. We could probably do a case file on all the weird shit that guy's up to.
It's nuts. They didn't say how much the value of the contract was, but I guess they had been working on this actually before. Palantir had been working on this type of system before with JSOC, the Joint Space Operations Command Center. And just that it fell through after a couple of years. But now the Space Force has gone and decided they're going to pick it up, and that's how they're going to go forward.
I fucking love it.
Interesting. Cool.
Weird company. Weird people.
Palantir.
Palantir.
That's it for space news. I don't think we have, I think the X2 is on the fritz again.
It's dicked.
Dicked.
It's fucking dicked.
I had it going today, but then it kind of it stalled halfway.
Yeah, it's probably all that smoke in the studio.
Dude, it's a smoke-free studio. Rips. Smoke-free. That's why I got to go. If it wasn't smoke-free, I'd be smoking right here, blown in the camera. But I respect my equipment, and I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to smoke on all the beer-covered equipment.
Beer doesn't get into the crevices. Like, you only spill on the keyboard for the most part, so it's fine. You just throw the keyboard away after a bit. You buy a used one off the internet for $5. You just keep throwing them out. Not throwing them out. Recycling. For all you sticklers, I've been recycling them to the electronics recycling department.
Zell, if you want to queue up the new Patreons, I've got a couple new 5-star reviews I'm going to read. This is a 5-star review from Boy Get My Gun from Australia. Good times. Great podcast, covers great points through thorough discussion and always very clever humor. Please start to use the term mort. The Urban Dictionary has the meaning. Maybe start using the phrase blumpkin berries too. Good times. Cheers. I think that's supposed to say cheers. Like, what's mort on the Urban Dictionary? Pull that up, Zell. Do we dare?
Okay, wait. Yeah, I'll pull it up. I'm not gonna look at it. I'm just gonna pull it up. So it could be anything. Okay. So
all right.
What's it? What is it? Yeah. Mork.
Mort on Urban Dictionary.
Mort. Urban Dictionary. Urban Dictionary. Mort. All right.
Oh, mort, not mork. That was mork.
Okay, I'm not gonna look. I'm just gonna pull it up. I'm not even gonna look. I'm gonna read it together. Oh, it's so.
I can't read.
Can you even read that?
It's so blurry. No, it's
mort.
So blurry.
Anything used to describe someone who lacks sense of life, looks dumbfounded, and has only a limited ability to learn and understand, often excluded from society.
Oh, fuck, we're morts.
Yeah, it's all of us.
Heck.
We're all a bunch of morts,
5-star review from Stone and Steel. Walk in the line. I appreciate the viewpoints on everything these guys put together. It keeps me between believing everything and questioning everything. That's right down the middle,
right
where
down.
We strive for everything.
Yes.
I can't read that one. 5-star.
Why can't you read that one?
It's too racial. I can't read. I can't. I'm not allowed to read the words. Let's just put it that way. I'm not allowed to read it. I can't read it.
It's fair.
Sorry. 5 stars though.
Five stars. I can't read it.
There you go.
Sorry.
Insert a different word that you that find a different word that you can
not
use.
Not worth
instead.
It. Might slip
no, I'm
up.
Not doing it.
Might slip
I'm not
up.
Doing it. Five star review. The only place I get my news. That's
nope.
A terrible idea.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea not at good all. Idea. Who's ever doing that and coming here and be like, I'm listening to these guys, and then that's fact. Mm. Don't. Mm-mm. Look it up yourself.
Don't do it.
You are getting, this is worse than third hand news.
We're a bunch of morts.
Us, right?
We're a bunch of morts here.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the morts.
It's like, this is like, I heard from my sister who knows a guy who knows a guy who has a dog who also the dog knows a guy who hangs out with this other girl that buys meat from the deli from this other guy who said to her that they're aliens.
Yeah, but Dan, all those people that you listed are far more credible than us.
That's yeah, might be true.
That's what I'm saying.
Buddy, you know, like Rick never takes advice from Jerry. And we're four Jerrys.
You just said we're all Jerrys?
Yeah, all morts.
All of us.
Whoa, that's not cool.
Buddy, you're the biggest Jerry. You'd be like Pluto's a planet in a heartbeat.
Dude, one time
you'd be flexing and shit up there.
One time Rick took advice from Jerry to go on the Whirly Durly.
Listen,
and then he almost got himself
killed.
I'm
not saying we're wrong all the time.
I'm definitely more of a Sleepy Gary.
Hey.
Sleepy Gary.
Or a Scroopy Nooper, but
yeah. We are 50% right and 50% wrong. We're either right or we're wrong.
Right down the middle. Right down the center.
Zell, you got to, who's our new patrons? Thanks to everyone supporting the show. If you want to get on, we got tons of other material. We just released our live pay-per-view watch along of the Cryptid Crush-a-thon that happened last weekend.
Oh my God, was
amazing.
It gory.
Fight, dude. Unbelievable.
Fun
if you
times.
Want to listen to our live watch along, go to patreon.com/alientheorists. As little as $5 gets you all access to everything we do. And head to our merch store, alientheoristtheorizing.live. We got shirts, we got hats, and I promise you, sometime in the next 30 days, we're going to have some new wicked merch up for the summer season. I'm working on it. It's tough, but within the next 30 days, maybe for May 1st, we will see.
Spend those government checks.
Yeah, spend those. Don't. Hey, why stimulate your businesses around your community when you can stimulate us? Send us those. send us those, hard-earned dollars. Support the show. Thanks, everyone. We love the support. It keeps the show going. And as you can see, if you've been following us from the start, the bigger we get, the better the improvements that we put into the show. So, you know, we're doing the live streams now and stuff. And that's all thanks to you guys. We can't thank you enough.
Okay.
So who are their new Patreoners?
Let's give a quick disclaimer here. There's more than we normally read because last week we tried to record this very same case file and we completely butchered it. It's going to be...
That's being generous.
That's being generous. We, you know, the quarantine was rough on us last week. It was Easter weekend and Monday came. It was a compounded hangover. So in order to get over the hangover, you had to get a little more drunk. And then by the time 7:30 rolled around, nothing went at all.
All right, so I'll make up some names. Let's hear it.
All right. Hugo, Russian, Brody, Allen, Otway, Tasman, Cooey, Joseph Branston. I'm pretty sure he's watching the live stream. Cheers, Joseph. Colton, Wesley Fincher, Jenna. These are all pretty standard names this week. Very surprised. Robert Bates, Devin, Christopher.
It's because you got cocky.
I got
called you out on your weird names.
Yeah, I did. No, Christopher Buck Sleazy the Fourth.
All right.
That's pretty fucking dope.
That's a fucking cool name.
Ryan, pretty sure that guy's Master Side 9 or whatever. That streamer.
That's a pretty dumb name.
Yeah, it's a stupid fucking name.
Ryan, yeah, it's a terrible name.
Stupid name. I do not approve of my own name. Mindy C. Strees, Magnus Hara, Effie F., my favorite so far, Jessica Rios, Papa Falapa, new favorite. Boy. New Papa, favorite today, Papa Falapa.
Papa Falapa, Papa Flapa.
Papa Falapa, Flapa, Papa.
Okay.
Jen Geiger, Nick Sean Spencer. When was the last time we recorded? Sixth. A couple more. Anthony McKenna. Isabella. Matt Smith. Dennis. Super Sane.
Nice.
Just Dennis Sane. Or Sane's. But I added super. And that's it. That's it.
You know what? If any yeah, other theorite super. Out there, I want to know if there's any other Craigs out there that have the same issue as me.
What do you mean?
With their name.
Elaborate.
Just people not hearing their name. I've never thought to ask other people with the same name.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know your name or don't know how to spell your name, because that's like 100%
of people.
They can't
say, when you say your name to someone else, they just go and just say a completely different name.
It's just because you got such a forgettable face.
Is that what it is?
Probably.
Yeah. I'm always looking at the ground like away when I'm talking.
Please don't call me Craig. Please don't call me Craig. Please don't call me Craig.
Anything else before we wrap this up?
A couple things. One thing, I just wanted to give a quick personal thank you to all the Patreons supporting, because this is technically now, during the COVID, my full-time gig. So I'm going to be striving to bring out even more content than we normally would while we wait for the whole madness to work itself out. And Zell's Band of the Week is a local band from Kelowna, BC called Ancient Engines. The song's called Gory Brook. It's an awesome music video to go with it. So you can find them on Spotify, Ancient Engines.
What's their name again?
Ancient Engines.
Fucking, they should just call themselves the fucking Antikythera Mechanism.
They should. I'll pass them.
Same.
I'll pass a word on to them. Anyways, Ancient Engines. All song right, called Gordy Brook.
Thanks, everyone. We love you guys. And we'll see you next week. And as we always say, keep those eyes on the skies.
Peace.
From a bag and shake it off. We can drip it from a bag and shake it off. A bag of bones, some marrow and salt. A tiny bag of bones, some marrow and salt. We can drip it from a bag and shake it off. We can drip it from a bag and shake it off. Some marrow and salt. We can turn it down.